Bobby has the puck. He's coming down the sideboards hard. He's doing the famed spinnerama. The rubber's off his stick. It's Hot Pepper out there traveling down the ice and right into our own net. Slapshot is a free-to-play hockey simulator on Steam, and I talked to the lead dev on the project. All right, Irvion. Wow, I already fucked it up. How's it going, buddy?
Doing well, thank you. How are you?
I'm going really good. It's funny because, like, the listeners don't know, but we just had a conversation where I was like, yeah, this is your name. And I was ready to go, and then I already fucked it up. Okay, so Slapshot. We've had lots of fun with it in the community as kind of a game that we just pick up and play. In houses, we had some 5v5s going, and we're really surprised on a couple things that it's free, that it's so difficult at the start to learn how to like pick up the puck. Definitely harder than like NHL 20 by far, by a long shot. But so, how did you get, I guess, started on this, or how did this start in general, and then how did you get involved after?
Right, so this started as a small hobby project from a guy named Donut Gaz. His passion for hockey and programming brought him to start the project. He later on involved Belucha. He's the artist for the first Slapshot game. And after they launched on the 8th of March 2019, I joined the team because it kind of blew up. It blew up in a sense that they didn't expect at all. It was just like some tiny game. Nobody expected anything of it. People liked it a lot. And I offered my help because I saw it was really growing. And a couple weeks later, I was brought on board as a developer. And I've been on board ever since. But since it grew, Donut Gaz, he didn't want to prioritize it much because it's a big responsibility. Even though he loves the game and he loves the people, it just wasn't for him much. So I offered to kind of take over the role of lead developer, which also led to the decision of creating Slapshot Rebound, which we're working really hard on right now.
Okay, awesome. And yeah, so Rebound is the next kind of installment. I was going through the Steam reviews before I downloaded the game and then before this interview, and a lot of the negative or the thumbs down comments, not necessarily negative, but they were saying like, love the game, I like the people, but the developers have dropped it. Now these are reviews from like early 2019. Yeah. So I guess now none of those concerns are present because obviously you're developing the next game. You're going to fix a bunch of things.
Exactly. So kind of what happened, we had a small gap. So we did announce like the end of the development of the game when Donut Gaz stepped down because I didn't necessarily like, because he wrote most of the code, he wrote most of everything of the whole game. I didn't necessarily know how to continue exactly without him there. And it wasn't made in a custom game engine. There were a lot of custom things. A lot of things that definitely required some improvement to make a full-fledged, like, good game out of it. I mean, I think it's a good game right now, but it still has a lot left to be desired. And so when he stepped down, we announced the end of the development. And I just couldn't let it go. And I just started experimenting in existing game engines, such as Unity. Just checking out what I can make, and I got a prototype very quickly, and something just sparked up. My eyes were glowing, my motivation was at an all-time high, and I just said, "Well, screw it, I want to do this, and I want to do it right." So now we've learned a lot from the first game, and I just dove in, and I brought Belucha on board. And Sheba a little bit later, and we just went with it. We just started developing on it, and then a month or two later, we announced it to public. So there's about a 2 or 3 month gap between the announcement of the end of development and Slapshot Rebound. So that's where the negative reviews are coming from.
Right.
I 100% agree with them, because we obviously didn't put much more development into it. Since then, I did make like a small quality of life update because I didn't want to leave people just like that and just leave the game for what it is. But I agree with most negative reviews, even though there aren't that many, which I'm happy about. But they're correct. Not anymore really for the ones that are saying that we dropped the game.
We
didn't really drop franchise, at least.
Right. Yeah, update your Steam reviews, people. You heard it here first, okay? Come on, go to your negative review, turn it to a thumbs up. It's mostly positive on Steam. Anyways, I just, when things are mostly positive, I always go to the negative ones. Like, I search, what are the, because I want to be like, okay, most people think it's good, but like, what do the haters think? Easy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what I do as well. I like to read the positive ones, but honestly, you always want to see like what the negativity is all about.
Yeah. Yeah, so... So the original guy who made this is still involved in a community sense, or does he just play the game? Because I'm kind of interested, like, on the revenue side of things, is this something that you eventually want to transition into, like, being a lead developer, and this is going to be a good source of income for you? And where does he and the other developers fit into that? Or is this really a passion project and the money you get is just, you know, to justify the time you spend improving the game and stuff like that?
Right. So Donut Gaz is, to my knowledge, not very involved in the community anymore. I think it's hard for him after like spending all the time he had in the past.
Yeah.
And for us, it is the kind of project that we do want to bring to a higher level. I actually quit my job for it. And I'm really passionate about it. And I've always made games, pretty much. I've been programming for over 10 years. And in all that 10 years, I've always had a game project going. And it's just pretty much my dream. And I saved up some money and I said, I just want to do this. So it is something I do intend to kind of like make my main job. Although I don't expect it to make as much as I would otherwise as a software engineer, but,
right.
but I'm happy doing this, and I've been doing this full time for about 2 months and a bit now. And it's just every day is joy. I really enjoy doing this, and I feel like this is what I was meant to do. And if it ends up making sure that I have a roof over my head and warm food on my stomach, I'm happy. This is the happiest I've ever been. So
that's awesome, man. Yeah. Why is that always really the story? Why is that always the story? You know, we talked to like these indie developers, talked to a couple other ones before. Most recently, a guy in Sweden making like a new Dwarf Fortress city sim, and he quit his job too. He saved up money and he's happy. It's like, it's just, when you're saying that, like, my face lights up in a smile because I'm like, oh, it's just so wholesome. And like, yeah, you just like can't help but like root for those people, right? I can't help but root for you. Like, there's no reason for me not to. The free to play. So I guess the monetization part of it, it's free to play. And then you sell a board ad space. Or, well, I don't know. I shouldn't put words in your mouth. How did you monetize it? And like, why did you decide to go that way? The free to play and then monetization? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So initially, the game release free to play was always planned from the start. And there was a Slappy Pass added to it, which just allows you to wear all the items that you have unlocked over the course of you playing the game. I have to admit the current business model isn't the best. Because, I mean, you put a lot of effort into bringing people on board and getting to stay in the community. And you would expect for a live service like that of an online game for people to repeatedly be able to spend money on it, which isn't really the case with just one Slappy Pass, right?
Yeah.
So people can spend, what is it, like $10 on Slappy Pass, and that's it. They can't really, they literally can't spend more money on it. And I've gotten quite a few messages, actually, like from people asking me, like, how can I spend more money? I want to support this project. I really, really love it. So that's really encouraging to hear. And it's also a bit sad because, you know, I couldn't offer them a way to help us out directly or easily. So the servers do cost money. They cost a lot of money. So we set out to like find some new ways to generate some revenue. One of the ideas that we implemented late last year was the board ads. We just charge $50 a month for your board ad. And a lot of people see it, I think, per month. I checked this yesterday. 140,000 people have played. So that's a lot of impressions on the ad. But usually it's just community members just advertising like a Twitch stream or just like a product they have or a team they made for Slapshot.
Right. Maybe a podcast. Maybe a pod. I don't know. Just spitballing here.
Yeah, sure. If you're interested.
I don't know. We got to talk to the guys. Patrons. Yeah. If you're a patron of this podcast.
We set up a patron as well. Actually, about the board ads. Someone made a board ad for their earbuds company. And they've gotten a sale out of it already, so they made their money back.
Awesome. That is good to hear.
Yeah, that's really great to hear. I didn't expect that, but it worked. but Patreon. I wasn't a big fan of it at the start because I'm very reluctant to just take money and not offer anything in return. Like people have just told me like, hey, can I just send you money on PayPal? And I was always hesitant to do that. I just said no.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't bring myself to just take money and not give anything in return. But since we do want to finance Rebound and since we want to pay for everything Slapshot wise, we did decide to launch a Patreon and I did my best to add rewards to it that are worthwhile to people. Obviously, we're not forcing anyone to support us on Patreon, so it's all up to them. One of the biggest ones that people are really happy with is the tag system. So you can get like an in-game tag in Slapshot when you are, I think it's like the $20 one or above. So that helps a lot. We currently have just over $400 a month from Patreon, which is a huge help because for the last few months, like the Steam sales haven't been much more than that. So it basically like almost doubled our revenue and really helps like secure us a bit financially. Because when Rebound launches, I expect that to be like the month with the highest player count. Which also coincides with it being the highest, like with the server count, right? So it's going to cost a lot of money to launch the game, which kind of had me a bit scared because if our new business model kind of flops, then, well, we're screwed, right? So yeah. It's going to cost a lot of money and it's not really going to bring any in. But with Patreon and the board ads and stuff like that, it really made me more confident on just going ahead and not being as worried about launching.
Right. And I was trying to look for another game that uses Patreon as a funding model. I found a lot of things that were like, I make Flash games, this is how you would support me. But I couldn't find anything on Steam, and because I was just trying to compare, okay, what do other games do and what are these guys doing? So it's definitely unique, and I hope people embrace that. It for Slapshot Rebound, is the Patreon gonna be like an automatic thing built into the game, like you launch the game and you can click it right there? Or is once you, well, I guess, what are your plans to monetize around Rebound? Is it gonna be more cosmetic stuff? Because yeah, if people want to support the game, I guess, like if me personally, I want a witch hat, like that would be worth it to me, you know, if like five bucks here, $5 there, as long as I'm playing the game, then I would kind of want to spend money on the cosmetics to give to it. I'm not sure I would sign up for a Patreon unless I was like, you know, a really hardcore fan, then I probably would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we kind of see the Patreon as an optional subscription service. We do want to expand it a bit with Rebound. And the way we would do that is just give some in-game currency every month. We're also thinking of having a tier where it's like an exclusive item of the month that they can get, which won't ever return. So it's just kind of like an incentive for them to get that tier if they're really invested in the game, which helps us, helps them. So I think everyone's happy there.
Yeah.
For the monetization model, we've decided to go a different route because, as I said earlier, I'm not completely happy with how it turned out with the first Slapshot. It's going to mimic more of a Fortnite and Rocket League kind of monetization model, which yeah. I've seen like works really well for those games, and I think it might work well for us as well. It's just going to be like a small store. You're gonna have an in-game currency, and it's gonna have a store with items on rotation, some featured items, just stuff like that. So it doesn't limit people on only being able to make one purchase, but it's also not going to be unfair to the point where it's just something like ridiculously expensive, right? So
yeah.
I think it's a nice like in the middle thing where people can still make their look for about what the Slappy Pass was, but if they want to go all out, then they can do so, right?
Right.
Yeah, that should just help a lot with revenue, and it should help a lot just making sure that Rebound is going to be the live service that we want it to be.
Yeah, for a long time, because
exactly. Yeah. We don't want this game to die like 6 months in, right?
Yeah.
We're in it for the long haul, and we should set up our business plan accordingly.
Awesome. Well, I'm happy to hear that. I think people in our community will be, in our tiny community, will be excited about Rebound, because oh my god, we've just had so much like a ridiculous amount of fun. Like we were like, should we make a highlights reel of like best moment, and like we totally want to, and it would be fun to watch because we're having so much fun, but we're not really good at the game, so that might change.
You have to be good, have fun though.
No, you don't. But I've seen like, oh my god, but dude, there's like some danglers out there. They're like stick lifting the puck. They're like shooting it off the boards to them. They're like doing one timers. I'm like, what is going on? I feel like I'm being danced around. And a couple people who have played it have asked me, do you think these controls are intentionally difficult to learn? Like, is this like kind of a fumble core thing, or are we just really not skilled at the game? And so I wanted to ask you, like, did you make it intentionally difficult, or is that just how the game is? Like, it feels like, you know, the first time you might play Rocket League, I know everyone's used to it now, but the first time you played Rocket League, did we feel the same? It's hard to remember.
Yeah, I don't think Rocket League felt as difficult as Slapshot the first time. I actually do have a new player experience as well, so I kind of know how you feel. In Rocket League, everyone knows how to drive a car in a game, right?
Right.
And it's very controller oriented. When in Slapshot, you're gonna be better off with keyboard and mouse. And it's not intentionally difficult. We've actually thought about it a lot, and we really wanted to find a way to make it easier for people to get into, because it's actually like one of the top reasons why people that try the game don't stick around, because it's just they don't get it. It is not intuitive at all. You would expect them, when you move the mouse to one direction, it actually moves the stick to that direction.
Yeah.
But no, it's just moving it to like the direction like you do left and right, right?
Yeah.
So yes, it is very unintuitive. It is very difficult. No, it's not intentional, but I think once you do get it, once you get used to it, it is the very best way to actually control the game with. So that really is a kind of a bad thing for us, because it's difficult to retain people that just start the game. But we are experimenting with a few things. Like, we do want to add like how the controller system works, like to the mouse system, but we're always going to offer like the way it works right now, because a lot of people are used to it. And in my opinion, it's still the best way to do it.
Right.
But if we can get a lot of people that play it for the first time and get them to stick around and switch eventually, then that would be ideal. But yeah, we still have a lot of testing to do to see if that actually works.
Okay.
Hopefully it does, because I do want people to stick around.
Yeah. I think, for us, one of the things that made it fun was that it was difficult. Like, because it was ridiculous role-playing in a group. We're all laughing. Someone, like, fucks up, does something completely ridiculous, and we're like, oh, my God. Like, scores on themselves or twirls around, completely whiffs it or something. Yeah. And if the controls were more, I guess, intuitive, maybe those moments wouldn't happen. I don't know. That's true.
You're actually not the first person to tell me that. I've got a real life friend that's told me, like, I like the game because it is difficult.
Yeah.
And that's the first time someone told me that, and it got me thinking, like, yeah, you're actually right. It's very fun when it is difficult, but usually that's when you play with friends.
Yeah.
When you play with people you know, the you're all like on an equal playing field. Everyone sucks, and that makes it fun because nobody is inherently like really good at the game. It's not a game that you just are good at when you start out. Everyone sucks at the start.
Right.
Some people will progress easier than others, but everyone sucks.
Yeah.
And it's really nice when you have friends to play with, when you get into private games, stuff like that. But when you hop into a public game, that's a whole different story.
That is,
yeah. What usually happens is you're going to get wiped. So just the floor is going to get wiped with you, and it's insane. Like, people dance around. You just have like some insane plays going, things you could not even imagine happening in that game. And it's really cool to see, but it's not very fun when it's against you.
Yeah, yeah.
It's... So that drives a lot of people away because there's no way to kind of like go against these people that do know like how the system works and got used to it. Hopefully that'll change a bit with Rebound if we get like a lot more people playing, because that means we can get people more into this like equal skill brackets, right?
Yeah.
That will hopefully fix a lot of those issues, but yeah. It's not fun to just get dunked on.
It's fun to dunk, not necessarily fun to get dunked.
That's what I highly encourage people that like start playing to get some friends and start playing like in private games.
Oh yeah, totally.
It's a lot of fun when everyone just talks and everyone's just going at it.
Yeah, or even even group up. Like, it is definitely fun if you have an in-house, but even group up in like the group of threes and go online, because even if you lose, at least you lose together as a team, and you're all like kind of learning, and yeah, you get dunked on and it sucks, but there's a mercy rule. Like, after six goals, you're out of there. So
yeah, that's something I had to implement.
Yeah, it's not like Rocket League where it's like, oh my god, it's like 12-0. Are you kidding me? Like,
it got really bad some games. Like, we didn't implement this for the longest time. I think it was like late last year somewhere that I implemented the mercy rule, so that was at least half a year without it.
Yeah,
and people were just dunking. I was like 28-0. It was bad.
Yeah, definitely.
So I just, like, okay, public games mercy rule. Let's just do that.
The mercy, yeah, it's totally a good idea. The mercy rule. I mean, after you have a 6-goal deficit, dude, you're not coming. Like, you're probably not coming back. So like in that, but in that vein, like, you want to. I feel the pain you must feel, or I think that you must feel, because you are trying to like balance a competitive community with one that's welcoming to new players. With a lot of these sports simulators, I don't want to say people are, well, I can say that, like, you just get like a toxic group of people who are there to win. They're toxic because they're competitive. You get this with all games, not just sports simulators.
Yeah, definitely.
And then when new players are put with them, they don't have a really good time. They're being yelled at because they don't know the controls or whatever. Mm-hmm. This hasn't happened to me personally in this game. When I join, I've always had the most helpful people. If I'm playing solo, someone's like, you know,
maybe you're just good.
No, I'm really not. But like, the people I've met have been like helpful, like, you know, writing, you know, sniper, why don't you go over there, focus on this. I've never had like a negative interaction, and I've played about 10 hours of the game. A lot of that's been single player. So are you doing anything to encourage that? And has it been stressful to balance those two things, a competitive community with kind of welcoming new players?
Right. So to me, my vision just says, I want the game to be fun in the first place. Like, that's just the most important part, because you won't get any competitive players when the game just isn't fun, or at least not as many as you should. So fun is always the first thing we set out to have. and competitive comes second, but it's a very close second because there are a lot of competitive people, and we don't want to let them down, right? So we've got to make sure that it is competitively viable, especially for rebound. We've been testing a lot of balancing stuff. There's just a lot of things that like influence the balancing, and got to make sure that competitive is viable, and then we can't have it that it's not fun anymore. So it's really, really difficult to get to that point. But we are encouraging to have a wholesome community, as I imagine a lot of communities want it to be.
Yeah.
and we do like implement a few things to make sure that toxicity isn't very high. We are fairly strict in our Discord, because honestly, it should just be like a place where people can just hang out, chill, play with each other, give each other tips and tricks. It shouldn't be a place where you shit on each other. It's just bad. We also have like an in-game muting system, where people that just say the most horrible stuff just get muted, right? So that's an avenue less that they have to be toxic, right?
Right.
There's a lot of muted people, by the way.
Oh, so they're muted in game. No matter, it's not like I mute someone and they're muted forever. Like the game mutes them.
Mute in game. Like, they will see their own chat, which is the best part. They will see their own chat, but nobody else will see their chat.
Oh, that's genius. Maybe that's why I had such a good experience. Everyone's been angry at me, but no one's been able to commute. Maybe, I don't know.
Maybe that's probably, I do think that most of the people that are muted don't even realize it, which
right.
I feel kind of bad about it, but on the other hand, I really don't, because you don't get muted for nothing. Usually there's a very low, like, false positive rating here. So,
right. Okay.
Yeah. There's a lot of wholesome people though. A lot of high levels that are really invested into the game, really want to help the lower level people out, because they do realize that in order for one of their favorite games to succeed, well, they can't just make new people quit right away, right? Because that's how games die. So they realize that, and I'm really grateful to the people that do realize that and make sure that the new player experience is better than what it is in other games. So that's really nice. Of course, there are always some rotten apples that will want to win no matter what. And I don't always blame them. When I play games, I do see myself as an above average player. It isn't fun to get in a game and you just know you're gonna win that game. So I have to hold back. I don't want to like go dunking on them, so I have to hold back. And it's not always fun, because you do want to, like, you do want those sweaty games sometimes, right? You do want to improve. You do want to get the most out of the game. So holding back isn't always fun. So I understand why people get angry about it. But obviously it's not the best for the game. And I just really hope we can address that issue a bit more. Hopefully with a higher player count, to make sure that people are matched in their respective skill brackets.
Right. Everything you're saying makes sense. I'm excited about Slapshot Rebound. If I was a super magical being and I could just grant you any wish, well, I don't know where this is going. Maybe this is a bad analogy. Basically, where do you want the game to go when you launch it? Like, what is the best case scenario? Like you want this to be Rocket League, maybe you want this to have what's just like the best possible thing that could happen?
The best possible thing, it's kind of a mixture of things, as in a lot of people play the game, but we don't go broke. So that's the only condition to that. But I just genuinely want a lot of people to play it. We don't have to make millions off of it. I don't need to be bought by Epic or anything.
Right.
I just want it to be a game that people enjoy, we make some money off, we can live, and we can just invest into it again. I love doing this. I want to keep doing this. And if it like gets to a point where there's a lot of people playing, I'm going to be really, really happy.
That's such a wholesome answer. I feel like you must be an honorary Canadian. You're making a Slapshot hockey game. You're just so nice. You kind of sound like one. I was surprised when I first started talking to you. I was like, this guy doesn't sound like he's from Belgium. This guy sounds like he's from fucking down the street. All right. So I completely forgot what I was gonna say. I had a point, but it's gone. And maybe the interview should be over too. I think we've talked about everything that makes the game special and about your hopes for it. I really hope it succeeds personally. Because the current way to play hockey in the big EA NHL games.
It's not on PC, by the way.
Yeah, it's and even if it was, they make the online competitive scene kind of pay to win, and I was surprised that they went that direction. You can improve your players with like in-game currency. Yeah, and I was just when they started doing that, I was really disappointed, and that's kind of when I switched away. I only had my console for hockey. That's the only thing I had my PlayStation for, and I've been missing hockey. So good luck to you. And good luck to the game.
Thanks. Much appreciated.
That was your Digital Logic Friday interview. You can tell us what you think on social media at @digital_logic. The episodes pop right into your feed. You don't even have to go looking for them. Ervion, where can people find more about Slapshot?
Thank you. People can find more about Slapshot on our website, slapshot.gg, or on Twitter, slapshot.gg. And we're on Patreon if you want to support us. Thank you very much.
Awesome. The links to all those things will be in the show notes, so click away, and thanks for listening.